The theme for this morning, we're keeping it real simple, keeping it one laser-focused type of theme. It's grace. Grace. It's a great topic for us. It's something that we continually need. And so I'd have you read this verse with me. It's from Hebrews chapter 4. It's verse 16. And this will be the verse that we concentrate on this morning. So let's read this out loud together. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Grace. God's grace toward us. Grace is when you get treated better than you deserve. Don't you love that? Being treated better than you deserve. And, you know, grace is something that we all need, and we're familiar with it. Like, let's say that you're late for paying a bill, maybe a mortgage payment, and you call up the bank and you say, I'm so sorry, I forgot to pay, I'm a couple days late. And they go, that's okay, Mr. Wiggins, you're within the 10-day grace period. And you're like, ah, grace, right? Treated better than I deserve because I messed up. The other day, we were outside, and we were playing ball in the street, throwing a baseball back and forth, and I was out there with the boys, and one of the boys just wound up and let it fly, and it went totally the wrong direction, and it hit a car, and we were like, I was like, boys, inside, let's go, and so I went over, and I checked out the car, trying to be real nonchalant, hoping nobody heard it, and I went over, no dent, we used a soft core ball, and it didn't do any damage, and I was like, yes. Grace. These people are going to need some grace. I think this guy here in this picture, if you're going to be dumb, you'd better be tough. That's the caption there. Never mess with a baby bear. This little boy here got his head stuck in the chair. He's going to have some explaining to do with mom and dad. He's going to need some grace. I know that. And then these two little boys are really going to need grace. After painting the living room floor. My kids never did that. Did any of your kids ever do that with paint or something? Nobody. If they did do that, I don't think they'd be living right now. So they needed some grace. You know, grace is something we all need because we find ourselves in bad places. We find ourselves stuck sometimes. Have you ever said something or done something to someone where as soon as you did it, that feeling came over you like, oh no, I have just really hurt this person. And you go, oh, I regret that I ever said that or did that. And then you have to go and you have to ask for forgiveness. If you've ever had that happen, you know what it means to need grace. Maybe you kids in here, have you ever done something where you broke a rule for mom and dad, or you lied and got caught, or you tried to steal an extra cookie or something? I never did that when I was a kid. No, never. And mom and dad find out, and then you're in trouble. You know what it means to need grace. Please forgive me. Don't get me in trouble. You want grace. Adults, have you ever done something so bad that your first temptation is to want to just cover it up? And you don't want anyone else to find out about it because you know it's going to hurt your reputation. It's going to damage your walk, your testimony. And you're going to have to tell the truth. Grace. We are people that need grace. So how does it relate to this verse on the screen? Well, for the moment here, we're going to focus on the first half of this verse. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. It instructs us how to come to God. And there's three parts to this first half of the verse. I've got them in bold letters. Approach, throne of grace, and confidence. So let's talk about that first word, approach. As we're told in this verse, to come, it's telling us, don't shy away from God. Don't hold back from God. Don't think that he's too busy for you, that he wouldn't want you to come. It's telling us, let us approach the throne of grace. The concept is we should come. We shouldn't stay away. We have a choice every day whether we're going to approach God or not, whether we're going to draw near to him or not. We have a choice every Sunday morning when we come to gather here. Are we really going to approach him, or are we going to hang back? And depending on what you went through this week, depending on how you're feeling, we are the ones that are fickle. We kind of wash back and forth and say, well, I feel like drawing close, or I don't feel like drawing close. I don't like this right now in my life, and so I'm not going to draw close to God. I have this sin, and I feel this guilt, and so I'm not going to approach. We waffle back and forth. But the verse says, let us approach. Some people have a view of God like the Wizard of Oz, if you've seen that movie, and Dorothy and her clan come into the Emerald City, if I remember my Wizard of Oz well enough, and they come into that place where he is, and they try to talk to the Wizard of Oz. And he shows up with this like floating head saying, I am Oz, and fire's coming out and it's loud, and they fall back scared, and they're about to run out of the place because they don't feel like they could approach him. That's not God. God says, approach, come near. How? Well, the second word tells us. Because his throne is a throne of grace. He's got a throne of grace. So yes, he's king. Yes, he's in charge of the whole world and in charge of the universe. Yes, he sees what we do and knows what we think. We talked about that last week, as if he has this video screen. He can watch everything that we ever do or say. He knows it all, and God is holy, and he's just. But while he's all-powerful, he's also a God of grace, amazing grace, grace that's undeserved, that we shouldn't have for us. See, when we draw near to God, he's not going to push us away. He's not going to strike us with lightning. He's not going to yell at us. Grace means we get treated better than we deserve. The Bible, God's word, describes him as a God of grace, sitting on a throne of grace, which means while there's no way in the world we should ever get to approach him, while there's no way we should ever be able to draw near, God accepts weak, imperfect people like us. We can approach humbly because we know that we don't deserve it, but he says, come right in. Come sit down around my throne. Come talk with me. Come share your heart with me. Worship me. Laugh with me. Be with me. Approach the throne of grace. Can you picture that in a throne room, walking in where you know you are outclassed, where you don't deserve to be there? And he says, come right in. Come in and be with me. Those are his words for us today. Come and approach the throne of grace. And don't be scared. In fact, come with confidence. Some versions say come boldly. Come with confidence. How can we do that? How can we come when we're the ones who have offended this great king by our sin? When we're the ones who seem so insignificant compared to his greatness? Why would he ever have time for us? Why would he ever bother with us? On what basis can he have grace on us? Well, the verses right before this one in Hebrews 4:16 talk about Jesus. Jesus as the high priest, the one who goes between us and God, who opens the way for us to be with him. And another way to think about that, imagine as we go into the throne room, Jesus is the one at the door. That's kind of the function of a priest, is to connect us with God. And Jesus is that great one. Even though he's God himself, Jesus functions in a way of reconciling us, of putting us together with God. And if we come to that door, to the throne room, we don't come in confidence in ourselves, as if we deserve it, as if we've earned it, as if, well, yeah, you should let me in. Our confidence comes because Jesus has gone before us. And those verses say that he sympathizes with us. He's walked in our shoes. He knows our weakness. And yet we know Jesus went to the cross for our sin. He paid for our sin, died for us, so that we could be cleansed and forgiven and made right. So where is your confidence when you come to approach the throne of grace? Is it in yourself? No. It's in Jesus. So we come without fear. We come without hesitation. We come depending on Jesus, knowing that we have the invitation. Jesus is at the door saying, let's go together. I'll take you right into the throne room of my Father, and let's be together. Come talk. Come share your heart. Come worship. Come and be with me. This past week, I was at the heart of Harrisburg, downtown Allison Hill in Harrisburg, and there's a church there that we were partnering with Vacation Bible School, Monday through Friday. A couple of the people from our church were down there, and then yesterday was the back-to-school festival that they did. Great time. Thank you all for the backpacks that you gave, and those who came down and served with us. We only had one short rain shower that hit when we just set up all the sound equipment, and then it starts raining. We had to take it all back inside, and it worked out. But I was down there on Wednesday night to just be part of that for one evening, and we saw all these kids, and I walked up, and I'm like, "Hey, kids!" And I'm like, "Give me some nucks." And these kids, this row of kids, are just like, they're just looking at me like, "We don't know you, and go away." And I'm like, and then one kid finally gave me nugs. I'm like, "Okay, all right, I'll see you guys later." There was no confidence. There was hesitation on their faces. "We don't know you." And then I came home that evening, and my boys were still awake, and they were sitting on the couch, and I came home. They're like, "Dad!" And they came up and like, "We haven't seen you all day." And they gave me a hug, and they wanted me to sit down with them and watch a show and just kind of relax together and be together. That's the difference between coming with hesitation and coming with confidence. Dad sits on a throne of grace, and he says, "Approach. Come with confidence. I love you. Be with me." That's grace. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time, even in these next moments and later on through this service, getting to worship and draw near to our Heavenly Father. These first two songs are celebration, celebrating the grace that we've been given through Jesus Christ. I invite the worship team to come up and lead us in a time of praise, of thanksgiving, for God's grace to us. I invite you to stand with us. Well, that was the first couple of steps into the throne room. We have a whole journey ahead of us. By the way, as we enter this next portion, I just want to recognize this morning Nace and Bethany, who just sat down. Can you guys stand up real quick? You guys wave. Nace and Bethany, all right, you need to know some good news about them. They have been pastoral candidates here over the last year, credited with the Christian Missionary Alliance, looking for their place where God would lead them to serve. And it's official. They candidated out in Montana, and the church called them, accepted them, and they are now going to move in September to Montana. So congratulations, you guys. Woo! We'll have them up to share about that and to pray for them later on. They're going to move on September 6th. So they've got just right around a month of packing, selling a house, all those things. So if you could be praying for Nace and Bethany, I'd appreciate that. Ronan, Montana. Ronan. Sounds like Conan, like Conan the Barbarian, but instead it's Ronan of Montana. And that's how we can remember where you guys are. Beautiful country up there. So congratulations on that. We're going to miss them around here in the ways they're serving, especially on our worship team with keys and bass and all that. Our journey into grace this morning continues with this verse of Hebrews 4:16. We've already answered the question of how can we enter the throne of grace with confidence. Then the question becomes, why should we do it? Why should we do it again and again? What is the Lord wanting us to receive by coming to approach him? And again, we'll zero in on three key words in here: mercy, grace, and time of need. It says that we could receive mercy. What is mercy? It's actually a close cousin of grace. Mercy and grace have a family resemblance. They're very similar concepts. But there is a difference. Mercy is when you deserve something of a punishment or something bad, and instead you don't have to have that. I like mercy. I've been shown mercy many times in my life. Grace, the difference with grace is that you get treated better than you deserve. So it's above zero. This one gets you to zero. This one is above zero into the positive. Mercy. Think of it like a wiping out of a debt that you owe to someone. There's a story in Matthew chapter 18 about mercy. And it revolves around a certain king. And Jesus is telling a story of a king who had a servant that owed him a lot of money. We're talking in the millions of dollars, like multi-millions of dollars. It was a huge debt. And so the king comes to the servant and says, I want to collect on my debt. It's time for you to pay me now for the money that you've borrowed from me. And the servant goes, but I don't have the money. But I can't pay you back. But I'd never be able to work long enough to pay it off. And please don't send me to jail, because he knew that's what he had to do to work it off for the rest of his life, even if it was a portion of it. And so what does the king do? He says, okay, I forgive the debt. That just wouldn't happen. As Jesus' listeners would hear that story, they would go, a king's not going to do that. That's a lot of money. He's not just going to forgive all of that. But Jesus says, no, that's mercy, wiping out a debt. And he's teaching on forgiveness, and he goes on, if you're familiar with the story, to talk about how another servant owed that original servant money, but it was only a small fraction of what that guy owed the king, and he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. And so Jesus says, how can you not show mercy to your fellow man when God would show you that much mercy for you in your own life? Mercy is the wiping out of a debt. It's being brought back into even standing with someone. God has shown us incredible mercy through the cross, through the paying of our debt. It's like when we have a policeman that has clocked us from driving too fast, and he pulls us over and he says, I caught you going 12 miles an hour over the speed limit, and you go, please forgive me. I can't pay the fine. I don't want the points on my record. And you cry and tell a story, and the policeman goes, I'll let you off this time. If it's ever happened to you, that's mercy. If kids, if you've been in a classroom where you knew that you should be going into the place of punishment, the principal's office, or whatever it might be, and the teacher, and you say, please, I'll be good. Please, forgive me. And the teacher goes, okay, I'll give you one more chance. That's mercy. You should have had the punishment, and you don't have to. Just like that, God is merciful to us. And the verse told us, approach God on his throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy. Do you have a need of mercy today? That you're coming with some debt, some guilt, some heavy burden that you need relief from? Do you need mercy today? It is available from the throne of grace. We have confidence in Jesus. The price has already been paid. We can literally come today, and especially as we have time around the Lord's table for you to think and pray and reflect, you can come to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Isn't that good news? I don't know what I'd do without mercy. It is an incredible gift of God. Mercy. Second word is with it. It's grace. Grace, we talked about how it's the step that goes beyond mercy. It's not just the taking away of our debt or burden. It's going into places of getting what we should not deserve. We're not worthy of this kind of treatment. We're not worthy of these kinds of blessings. And it goes far and beyond what we can imagine. On Tuesday night, we were in a discipleship group talking about some writings of A.B. Simpson, who's the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he was writing about grace. And his point was that we get all of these benefits from salvation, from what Christ did for us. And he said, when people think about grace that you get from Christ, a lot of people think that it's this way of just excusing our sin. And like, well, okay, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I don't have to worry about that anymore. We use up this continual supply of grace just to sweep sin away and make it not a problem anymore. And there's a truth to that, but you can abuse that if that's how you see grace. He said, no, grace is more like the idea that we are now elevated above sin. The way that God looks at us, the way that he has truly made us, is elevated above sin to the level of divine perfection, of the full standard of righteousness that God expects. So not only are we just not bad, we are seen as fully righteous. Can you believe that God would view us that way through the blood of Christ? The gift that he has given us, every spiritual blessing that he's given us in Christ, he gives us his righteousness. He gives us his love. He gives us his presence. He's with us each and every day. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's given us his word. He's seated us in the heavenlies with Christ. It's an amazing gift that God gives us by giving us grace. Way more than we deserve. Full rights as sons and daughters of God. Not just wiping away the bad record, but putting all the good into our account. Mercy has come through the cross, but so has grace. Do you need to know that the Heavenly Father loves you? Do you need to know that he's with you? That he's for you? Do you need to know that you have authority in Christ to face whatever battles you might be facing? Do you need to know that not only are you forgiven of your sin, but you're made right and holy, even though you don't feel like it sometimes? Grace. It's all through grace. And lastly, the final part of this verse says that we could receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. How often do you need mercy and grace? Like every day? Like every moment of every day? When do you not need that? We're not often aware of what we need because we forget and we just kind of revert back to old ways of thinking and living and trying to do it on our own. And he says, no. Again and again, let us approach, continually, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we can find mercy, we can find grace in our time of need. Because you're going to need him now, and you're going to need him later on at the picnic. I could go a lot of directions with that. I need mercy out of this conversation, you know, or no. I need grace to know what to say here, or I stuck my foot in my mouth, and you're going to need him this afternoon, later on, you're going to need him this evening, you're going to need him tomorrow morning when you wake up. You're going to need his mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The time never ends. And the verse says, keep coming. Keep approaching. It doesn't expire. There's no term limit on this. There's not a number of tickets that you have to sparingly use because you don't want to run out someday. It's endless, folks. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. So I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you're carrying this morning, but if you need mercy and grace, you've come to the right place. Not just by being here in church, but by coming with a heart of expectation, a heart of faith that believes, not from your own. You know, for me, sometimes I go, well, I can't do this because I feel like I'm working my way into it and manipulating it. The Word of God says it, folks. It's His Word says, come, approach, be with me. Find mercy and grace that you need today. Maybe it's for some problem or some trial. Maybe it's for some sin. Maybe you have pain going on or some burden. You can find mercy and grace from Him today. It's our invitation. The throne of grace is waiting. The King is waiting. We're going to sing a hymn of the faith about grace. It helps us rehearse this truth together that we have a God of grace. Worship team, I invite you to come again. Not going to ask you to stand. If you want to, you can do so. More so, what I want you to do is follow the instruction of this verse. Reflect on the grace that's been given. And truly take another step forward into the throne room of God, where you say, grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all my sin. And come close to the King.